Have you been injured at work and need help getting the benefits you deserve? Call me, attorney Steve Marte, at 312-312-HURT for a free consultation. That's 312-312-HURT. I will personally handle your claim from start to finish. Call me, Steve Marte, today.
This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Get speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity XFi.
From the First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank's State Street Studio, this is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Live from the First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, State Street Studio. This is ESPN 1000.
A Good Karma Brands radio station. Barstool Big Cat. Host of Pardon My Take. And voluminous tweeter at Barstool Big Cat. It's time for his weekly conversation with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Checking the days. You're like, oh, did we already skip Monday? Is it Tuesday at 4 o'clock right now? No, it's still Monday. But tomorrow at this time, we're going to be in the middle of a White Sox doubleheader.
A double dip with the Royals.
Right. So our show will be very, very short. Not enough time to have our conversation with Barstool Big Cat. We appreciate him being flexible. And as always, he's brought to you by our friends and partners at 3Chi, the leader in hemp-derived Delta 8 products. Use promo code ESPN5. You'll receive 5% off your order at 3CHI.com. That's 3Chi.com. And our buddy RJ at the Curcio Law Offices. Call them if you need a big case to win. And Big Cat, before we get into the sports landscape, we were talking about the Pearl Jam drummer story. Have you followed this story?
No. Listen, you guys, I understand the White Sox take precedence tomorrow, but you guys have screwed up my whole week. I'm going to be a day off for the rest of the week. Like, just even doing this right now, I'm thinking it's Tuesday. So you put me in a tailspin. Any losses, I will be forwarding to you for the rest of the week. That's on you.
What kind of losses are we talking about?
Any gambling losses, they're on you now. It's really? Like when I travel, whenever I try, anyone who gambles knows if you're traveling, you're just worse at gambling. You're not at home. You're not feeling it. You're not, you know, doing whatever you need to do. So you guys have now put me in a tailspin. I'm in the incorrect headspace, and it's all on you.
Always looking for someone to blame for bets that go wrong.
No. It's not a blame. It's literally your fault.
I'll be your gambling shield. You want to blame me? Blame me. I don't care.
What would you be doing today right now at 4 o'clock if you weren't with us?
Nothing. Literally nothing.
Now I feel really horrible.
This is my nothing time. You ruined my nothing time.
By the way, Cutler has, and we'll get back to Pearl Jam. Cutler has ghosted us.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
So we wished him a happy birthday. We got no response back.
You think he's got a new phone number, maybe?
I don't think so, no. Yeah. I think, and we got nothing back, but then we thought, okay, we found out he was out of the country. Maybe this was just a thing where he doesn't play the out-of-the-country data plan and he got it late. And then he didn't want to respond. He's like, don't care about the out-of-country data plan. So and then we were, like a memory came up on my iPhone of a picture of the three of us. And I sent it to him, and then Waddle gave it the old, like, thumbs up, too, with a response, nothing.
Sylvie sent him the whole, you up? It was a late-night text that he sent, and we got nothing.
Yeah, you guys have to now go through your mind and think about everything you've said about him.
What did we do?
The last month, because you did something. You're getting a freeze-out.
Yeah.
I've survived the Cutler freeze-out. Not many have, so you're... Yeah, I'm not going to help you guys.
Wait a minute. How about this? Let's do a test. Can you just send him in your phone right now, just a text saying, hey, what you been up to? Or, hey, how have you been doing, to see if he responds to you?
Okay, I got you.
You don't need to say anything about us. Just I want to see if he gets back to you or if he's back.
Well, of course he's going to get back to Big Cat before he gets back to us.
Why? How?
I think Big Cat's higher up on the food chain than you and I.
Is that why? The bigger star now?
Of course.
Mm. Well, I'm a survivor. I've survived the freeze out.
Yes, so you've survived pissing him off and then getting back into his good graces.
Yeah, I don't want to be. I don't want to be lumped in with you guys. I don't know you guys anymore. If we're walking down the street and Cutler's coming our way, I'm like, I don't know these guys.
How about that? He's blaming us for the gambling losses, and now he's not with us on the Cutler thing.
Yeah, I don't.
Listen, this is Monday, Big Cat. You get me on Tuesday. I'll be a lot more.
You're more jovial.
I got claws.
Did you have the Suns on the money line or something? What?
No, I didn't. But can we? I mean, Chris Paul has got to be the best basketball player of all time who kind of stinks, right?
And what
we saw this last year as well in the last few games.
You know what it is? And sometimes, you know, especially with advanced, you know, analytics and everyone's got numbers and there's the way the game is talked about is at such a higher level. But sometimes just being tall matters. And Chris Paul, his body wears down every year. And he's a short guard. And, like, you think about the greatest players of all time. Like, Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant are anomalies. They're on the short end of the greatest players of all time. Being tall matters. Being a big guy matters. Like, every playoffs we do the same thing where, you know, whether it's an injury, whether it's just choking in big performances, it's every single year. I know he's 37, but...
Jalen Brunson won the short guy battle between he and Chris Paul.
Who would have ever thought that?
He muscled Chris Paul.
I know, and he's thick. Yeah, he's got the thickness with him. But yeah, it is a stupid thing to say, but it also, I think, we forget it sometimes that, like, just being tall is very important for
basketball. I like that. That's a good take today. But, like, Isaiah Thomas goes against that, right? Like that, and it shows you, as much as I hate Isaiah as a you know, a rival, like, you got to give that dude his due because he was an all-time great, and he slayed the Lakers, too, to win two in a row. And he was beating the Bulls on that team for all the years with Michael and Scottie before the Bulls finally got him.
Right, exactly. So, he would be the like, on the outside. And the craziest part about Isaiah is, and we don't like him, but Isaiah doesn't get talked about when you, like, in the reverence that a lot of other guys do. And I think that you're right. Like, he should probably be higher up considering the fact that they're just the list of guys that are like 6'1" and shorter who have been great in the NBA is so small. And it's just, I think it really matters when you get down to it. And Chris Paul, like, bigger guards bother him, you know, the wear and tear of the playoffs wear him down every year. It's just, the narrative is right. I know that there's some people that love Chris Paul, but he has not come up big in the big moment.
Booker didn't show up either. Like, I was expecting that because it's been a nice little sassy and saucy battle between him and Doncic, and like that was a mismatch from the very beginning.
It was a bizarre game to watch, and I did do Devin Booker. I tweeted out the clip. I always think of it whenever he has a bad performance. The one when Joakim is. They're doing an open run, and Joakim sends a double team in the corner, and Devin Booker's complaining, like, hey, we're not doubling, we're just practicing. And Joakim Noah's like, yeah, we're doubling. Yeah, we're sending double. Like, this is what we do. And I just, like, I know that this is another very, like, simple take, but that, to me, says a lot about Devin Booker, like, getting better in the toughness. The Suns just wilted at home. It was crazy.
I love watching Doncic. I think he's one of the most entertaining guys in the world. He also has to be the league's best complainer. Like,
That's a long list.
He is better than anybody in the league and on a number of fronts, including bitching and moaning about calls.
He is, he's definitely at the top of it, and he's done it in record speed. I love watching him, too. I'm sure you do the same thing, Sylvie. Whenever you watch a player like that, you're just like, man, I wish the Bulls had something like that, because the Mavericks, or if you're a Mavericks fan, you know that you're set for the next decade. You're going to be relevant for a decade. Like, you're going to be in the mix for a decade, probably plus, with a talent like that because he is that good.
I think he's got another level, too, because if he would, like, get in shape and commit himself like some of these other guys go and they work. Like, Doncic just goes and he does his thing and he works himself into shape and bounce back from an injury or two.
You know, he had a vodka and a heater to celebrate that win last night in the locker room.
He has that year where we'll come, like, off of the summer and all the stories would be like, Luka's Luca got a trainer for the first time in his life and stopped eating McDonald's, and now he's got like 5% body fat. You're absolutely right. That's going to happen, and it's going to be scary when it does.
You know, there was a funny moment, too. Speaking of complaining, I tweeted about it, too. There was a move, and first of all, there was a game. It was either six or in game five where Giannis took, like, seven steps and wasn't called for traveling.
Yeah.
And, like, the Euro step has turned into this Euro shuffle now where it's allowed. And then there was a play yesterday where Giannis may have taken eight steps trying to get to the hoop. And he had the nerve, after they called traveling, to turn around and look at the official and say, "What'd I do?" Like, these guys don't know what the hell a travel is anymore.
It's crazy.
They don't. And Giannis, I'll give Giannis this. Like, I don't know how a ref, like, refs a game when Giannis is in it. Every play is, like, you could say is an offensive foul. When he goes to the lane, it's like a bowling alley. He just bowls people over. And I don't think a lot of them are charges. I'm happy they don't call a lot of them charges. But I just think about, you know, all the times you get on a ref. I don't know what you would do, because every single possession that Giannis has, you could convince yourself it's an offensive foul or a travel, and, like, none of them are, but the way he moves, it's just so freakish and so different than everyone else. It's crazy.
Did you take any satisfaction from watching Grayson Allen be awful in this series?
Like, 35 total points.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was just – there's, like, specific times, especially in the playoffs in basketball. It doesn't happen as much in other sports, but in basketball – because the moments are so big and the talent is so high, you get a couple guys like, that guy shouldn't be here, and he knows it. And that was so great to watch. Like, Grayson Allen was like, he airballed that three, like, and you could just see it on his face, like, I shouldn't be here right now.
What am I doing here?
Yeah, like, this is not for me. Like, I should be dominating in Slovenia or something. I shouldn't be doing this.
It made me feel, though, a little more sad, because he's, like, just scoring all these points against the Bulls.
Steals, like, takeaways.
They're booing him. He doesn't care. He's making – yeah, he's doing it all. And then you see what Grayson Allen really is in the NBA, the I shouldn't be here vibe that you were just saying. And I kind of felt worse about my whole thing. And I even felt a little dirty talking trash about Grayson Allen.
Yeah, it is. I mean, but it also is a very common feeling that we've had in the last, I don't know, however many years, 5+ years, where it's like you watch these, conference final games. And you're like, the Bulls aren't even in the same sport as these teams.
Yeah.
Like, the toughness and shot making that the Celtics and the Mavericks and the Bucks were doing at times, like, I don't, this is not even close to what the Bulls could do. So I'm used to that. I'm used to feeling that way.
Yeah. We were talking about Jimmy Butler before the show, and I went through this mental exercise. I was saying, how good is Jimmy? And then I was starting to think, okay, a lot of people get into the NBA Hall of Fame. Is Jimmy going to be in the Hall of Fame? And then I started thinking of, like, who are the low-level NBA Hall of Famers? And one guy that the station has always argued about is Chris Bosh. Would you rather have Chris Bosh's career or Jimmy Butler's career?
I mean, I think Jimmy's got to add a ring for me to say that I'd take Jimmy's over Chris Bosh, right? Because Chris Bosh, you know, he obviously got joked about because he was the third, you know, the third guy in Miami, and he played that role and he did a good job adjusting to it. But he was a really good player for the Raptors when he was the best player.
Rings out and you compare the careers, like, as far as just the basketball player?
I think I'd still take Chris Bosh, just because I think Jimmy, you know, Jimmy is, he's an interesting case where you can't talk about Jimmy Butler without at least acknowledging the fact that the Minnesota thing went really sideways, and he had a lot to do with that, right? And the Philly thing was weird because they should have signed him. The Bulls thing, I blame more the front office than Jimmy, but that, like, constantly moving around, and I love Jimmy, and I'm rooting for him, but there have been moments in his career where it's like, what's going on here? Like, is he the best teammate? Like, what's going on? So I think Chris Bosh probably trumps him in that. Both great players, but Jimmy, everyone gets in the Basketball Hall of Fame. So I just say Jimmy Butler's in the Basketball Hall of Fame no matter what, right?
Yeah.
It's the lowest hurdle of all the sports, isn't it?
And it's crazy.
I mean, the Hall of Very Good is where you would find Mitch Richmond and Chris Bosh and probably and Jimmy Butler. But the Basketball Hall of Fame, obviously, it's much easier to get in.
But you know what? I actually have no problem with it because it's also the Hall of Fame that no one cares about. Like, we don't talk about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the NFL, the Pro Football Hall of Fame is a big deal, and Canton and the opening weekend and all that stuff. Cooperstown, we know, is way too much of a big deal because the writers keep guys out all the time for stupid reasons. But those feel like they mean something. I can't tell you the last time I remembered when they were like, oh, here's this year's class for the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? For the NBA, it's not really thought of in the same way as the other two.
Yeah, because it's college, it's international, it's everything. The Pearl Jam story really quick was an 18-year-old drummer got to play a song on stage with Pearl Jam because their usual drummer was out for COVID reasons.
Whoa. This is, isn't that movie? What was the movie with Mark Wahlberg? Rockstar, was that the name of the movie?
Yeah,
I did not see that. I've seen a lot of Mark Wahlberg's work. I have not seen that.
Was Jennifer Aniston in that too?
Yes, I think so. That's basically this movie where he was a fan of the band and he had a cover band of them. And he became the singer. So, yeah, that's the coolest moment.
We initially thought he played the entire set. We come to find out he played one song.
Right. And then we were asking, if he did play the entire concert, would Eddie Vedder pay him? And like Danny Zetterman said, his payment is the fantasy of getting to play with his band. And we said, no, that's like Michael paying his caddies with an autographed golf ball. You have to tip the kid, and you may tip the kid anyway for playing one song.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a rule. Like, is there a union, too, maybe?
That's the question I asked.
Yeah, like, if there's a musician's union, maybe they have to pay him. I think that it would be, I don't think the kid's standing with his hand out afterwards being like, all right, guys, that was fun. Where's my money? There's no way that's true, right?
But the Michael Jordan story, and we had a guy named Mike call in. He said he had caddied for Jordan on a number of occasions.
And I've heard this many times with other people.
Never was paid cash. Autographs, pictures, the experience.
The experience is your tip.
Michael never paid him cash.
That's tough. I mean, if it's like autographed cards and jerseys, I think I'd take that, right?
I think it was an autographed scorecard or an autographed golf ball. I don't think he went to the extent of going to his car, pulling out a jersey and signing it.
I never understand that.
I don't either.
Because I have, you know, I have some money now, and I throw it away. I give it to everyone.
And then blame us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, I'll tip. I don't care. I just think tipping is one of those things that people remember when you're a bad tipper. I mean, Scottie Pippen can tell you that. Like, that's just a fact.
So people are working their ass off for you. Like, they're trying, like, get out of here. Like, and he's super rich.
Yeah, I don't think Michael's worried about people being upset that he didn't tip anyone. I think he probably just brushes that off.
Why?
I just always do the math. It's always a math thing to me. Like, if you're Michael Jordan, does a $500 matter to you or does it matter to the caddy? Like, who does it matter more to? And then it's like, okay, that's the answer. All right, great. Here's a $500 tip.
Yep. So how are you a few days later? You wanted zero nationally televised game. Now you got basically the trifecta because you got a Thursday nighter, you got a Sunday nighter, and you got a Monday nighter.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm happy that someone in the NFL office realized that week 7 was right about when the Bears are going to be so bad that no one wants to see them anymore. So at least they just got them all out of the way at the beginning of the year. When it's like, you can sell a Bears Commanders or Bears Patriots game when, like, the Bears are, I don't know, let's call them 2-4, right? Like, week 7, 2-4.
I'd be happy. I'm happy with 2-4.
Yeah, right. I'm just happy there wasn't any, like, week 14 Thursday night football when it's like, this is going to be bad and it's going to get even worse when we get there.
If they upset the 49ers opening day, you'll be right back on the bandwagon. You know it.
Have they arrived? You too early.
Flex into a fourth game nationally.
This offense is going to be so bad. It's going to be bad, boys. I don't really know. I was just thinking about, like, what are you getting excited about? That maybe the defense with some, like, you know, new draft picks and some moving some pieces around, like in a defensive head coach. Maybe the defense has a bounce back and plays solid, but his
defense
how
gave
is this offense going to
31 touchdown
points?
Passes last year? Like, I think they're going to be equal opportunity bad on both offense and defense.
Are they going to be? Are they going to? Are they in the conversation for worst team in the league?
I just pulled up the ESPN power rankings. Do you guys want to know where the? Obviously, it's very early.
28.
Sylvie says 28. Big Cat.
29.
You know, 29. You guys are a little too pessimistic. ESPN has them at number 24.
Oh, I could ride with that.
Ahead of the Giants, the Jags, the Seahawks, the Texans, the Jets, the Lions, and the Falcons, and the Panthers.
Let's do this.
Yes.
Okay, let me phrase this a different way.
Which trip we're going to take. Which away game are we going to?
Let me phrase this a different way. Are the Bears closer to the playoffs or being the worst team in the league?
The worst team in the league.
Yeah, they're closer to being the worst.
So that's where it's like it's going to test us. We're going to have to test ourselves this fall.
Yeah. I think
it's going to really be
My level of expectation is obviously very low. It's so low, I just want to, after 3.5 hours of watching them, I want to understand exactly what they were trying to do. Like,
right.
Then it makes sense.
Yes,
like you were saying.
Yes, I want to see them do something on both sides of the ball, specifically on offense, and say, hey, look, I know from a personnel standpoint, they don't match up with a lot of teams, but I understand what they were trying to do there. That's all I want from them to start the season. I want to understand what the hell it is they're trying to do.
You're just talking about game plans.
Yes.
We want game plans. We want competency. I had such a bad thought. This is the time when you start to have, like, the bad thoughts creep in your head. And I had a thought the other day where I was thinking, like, this is just literally just, I don't know, driving my car around and it just pops in my head. I'm like, I'm so low on this Bears team coming up. And it could get worse because what if Justin Fields is not the guy? Like, that, it has bottom-out potential. You know what I mean? Like, because the first year with Justin Fields, whenever you get a drafted quarterback, that first year you're basically convincing yourself, as long as we see a couple glimmers, we're fine. Year two, you got to be something.
And they didn't surround him. That's the big thing. Really quick, is Drew Brees going to play football again?
Yeah, I don't know what that was. He that was crazy that he's like, I might play football. What? For who?
Yeah.
And for what? Like, what are you? You're going to throw the ball? Are you saying that? Or are you going to be like a holder on the kick team? I don't – Drew Brees, I was early and I was correct on Drew Brees. And he's obviously a Hall of Fame player. But I was convinced the last couple of years in New Orleans, he held that franchise back. They had a Super Bowl roster, and every year they get in the playoffs, and he could not throw a ball more than 10 yards down the field, and every defense would just creep up on him, and you get the same result. I think he's just trying to spin zone that he wasn't great in the booth, but
I'm surprised,
I couldn't imagine.
Big Cat, I'm surprised they kicked him to the curb after 1 year. I get it. He wasn't great at his job, but he's a Hall of Famer. I thought they would give him more time than, you know, one season.
No personality there, though, on TV.
Joe Montana lasted for how many years?
As a broadcaster?
But Joe Montana,
Joe Montana was on the studio show for several years.
Yeah, but there wasn't Twitter when Joe Montana was around.
That's a good point.
Like, pretty much, if you're a broadcaster, like, you can be great, but you just and you'll get, you know, your accolades and people are like, oh, that's great, but you really, really can't be the butt of the jokes online.
Pretty
like, you can't have your name trending after every single game, and then you click on it and you're like, oh, here's mistake after mistake after mistake.
Put him in the booth with Dick Stockton. He'll sound like Tony. He'll sound like Troy Aikman.
That's true.
Am I right?
That's true. But yeah, I thought he was pretty bad in the booth. And again, it's nothing against Drew Brees, but it's the Jason Witten. You know, Jason Witten could go back to the NFL. But I think he's just trying to save face, being like, yeah, I might go play some NFL football again. Like, okay, buddy. No, you're not.
Okay, buddy.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Hey, you're almost to hump day, all right? Tomorrow's the big hump day, and all things are going to go well, all right?
Yeah, good luck to you guys because I'm going to play the board all week, and any losses are on you.
Know,
so,
of course, it's Monday. All right, see you.
Oh, wait. Let me see. Wait. Nope, Cuddy hasn't texted me back.
See?
I'll let you know if he
does.
This
is what I mean. He may be in a spot right now where he...
He's freezing everyone out.
Yeah.
He's freezing everyone out.
My prediction is you'll get a text back from him within the next 60 minutes.
All right, I'll let you guys know. I'll text you if I do.
I'm going against that.
Really?
Yeah, bet. You want to We're going to waddle. We're betting on that.
Okay, we'll bet.
All right. Thanks, Big Cat.
Thanks, buddy.
So all right, see you guys.
Because Cuddy has ghosted us all of a sudden. And I want to see with Big Cat. I know for a fact we've done zero wrong.
Yeah, I
know
agree
people
with you.
Don't want to believe that I didn't screw up and do something really creepy.
No.
That's a better story to sell. But I'm telling you, I just feel like something's maybe he's hot like and heavy after a woman, and they're putting their phones down all the time.
You feel like something's missing right now, don't you? Like
I
a
do.
Piece of you has been torn out.
Barstool Big Cat brought to you by 3Chi and the Curcio Law Offices. Someone's got a theory on why Michael Jordan doesn't tip on the golf course, and we'll get into the good, the bad, the dirty next.
Not everyone needs to buy industrial vehicles, but for pros out there that are looking for a forklift or a rail car mover, I got your solution. It's your buddy Tom Waddle here for our friends at Voss Equipment. And Voss is the place to go in the Chicago area. They have a large selection of used equipment available right now from industry-leading manufacturers like Yale, Columbia, and Track Mobile. Each of these machines has been tested thoroughly before being added to their inventory. So you're getting high-quality products at used equipment prices. Go to VossEquipment.com and click on used equipment to see their inventory. That's VossEquipment.com.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
The good, the bad, the dirty, brought to you by my guys at Window Nation. Call them 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. They've got the graduation sale going on now. I read a spot today, I believe, which is coming soon, that they've had 2 years, no payments of any kind. I believe they're going to make it 5 years.
Wow.
With no interest.
Let's do that.
To pay off. So call them. Check it out. 866-90-NATION.
No interest.
No payments of any kind for five is what I read today with Joe. I believe that's going to be coming out soon.
That's a good deal right there.
Yeah. Really quick. I maybe could even make it my good. It's a good theory. Someone tweeted. There's a couple MJ stories coming in on Twitter. And someone says, MJ doesn't tip on the golf course because he's just lost all of his money on the golf course.
Well, and we've also heard stories where he didn't pay his debts, haven't we?
That's true, too. Yeah. So, like, that he's usually paying people. Someone says, my mom's friend's son, John, caddied for MJ, who was playing against John's dad at Bobolink in Highland Park.
Oh, yeah.
After MJ lost over 36 holes, he walked off pissed and threw a signed golf ball over his caddy's head.
It's just not the way to do it.
It's so surprising. Meantime, Boo Radster says...
Boo Radster?
Boo Radster is his Twitter handle. My friend waited on MJ, and he tipped him a $100 bill, but the bill was so crisp... It was actually two $100 bills stuck together.
Wow, there
so
you go,
good.
Bonus.
There's a good story.
You get a bonus story there.
Yeah.
I like it.
So, yeah, I think that's a good theory that maybe he's losing all of his bets on the golf course, that he doesn't have anything left for the caddy.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he's not carrying any cash at all on him.
Will LeBron tip the caddies?
That I don't know. Right? Yeah. Once again, somebody trying to create a LeBron versus Michael story.
So that will be my good, the good theory. What do you
got? My good was the performance of Luka Doncic, who had 27 points in the first half of that game yesterday, which just happened to be the same number of points that the Phoenix Suns had in the first half. Doncic rose to the occasion, while the top three members of the Phoenix Suns all wilted. So my good was Luka.
He was great. I mean, these are how you get your name and reputation. It's a good conversation for later, too, on, you know, Giannis is usually looked at as the best player in the league, and maybe Embiid. Jokic has won back-to-back MVPs. If you've got one, who are you taking one, right? Durant went healthy. LeBron, like... Who are you taking one?
Such a great question.
You're redrafting the NBA, right? Are you taking Luka one? Taking Giannis one?
We're living in the moment.
I know. That's like it's so hot takey, the NBA. It's
I think prior to yesterday, everyone would have agreed that it would be Giannis.
But not a pretty later, performance, yeah. No. What do you got, Mellor? What's your good?
I'm going to give my good, gentlemen, to my second favorite Connor Mick in sports, Connor McDavid. He's pretty awesome in the Oilers' win in Game 7 on Saturday night, scoring the second goal for them as they beat the Kings. And it's just fun to watch the best player in his sport at the top of his powers right now. He has 14 points throughout the playoffs, leading the league right now. So pretty cool just to watch him do his thing.
Conor McGregor is your number one, Connor.
Of course. Yeah, yes, my
and
favorite.
Where's Connor Big Mick. Knight and go on here?
Obviously, number one.
He is also he's amongst receiving votes.
But you said McGregor, right?
Yes, at the top.
McGregor is number one. Yeah. Connor McDavid is number two.
Making jokes with Jeff.
And there is a Connor McKnight.
It's a new segment, making jokes with Jeff.
Make jokes with Jeff.
Yes.
What do you got, Tyler?
My good is going to come from the other standout performance that we saw on Sunday. It was Grant Williams and his 7 three-pointers. You know, he only hit 30 threes in his entire career at Tennessee. That's over the course of 3 seasons, and then he hit 7 in a Game 7 of the NBA playoffs.
Can I ask you guys a question as well? Between him and Bane and Brooks for Memphis, it's like there's been a renaissance in basketball with linebackers playing in the sports. Like before, it used to be long and lean and tall.
You could throw Draymond in that conversation, too.
Draymond's nowhere close to as thick as like Bane. But you're right, but between Bane and Brooks for Memphis, I mean, it looks like football players excelling on the basketball
court. There's a couple of them coming out in this draft, too. Like, there's a kid from Ohio State, E.J. Liddell, Travion Williams as well from Purdue. There's a couple more that could be coming down the pipeline.
There's some beef on the NBA courts these days. There is some beef.
Where's the beef?
Yeah.
It's old school stuff right there. What do you got, Waddle?
My bad is actually the performance of the Milwaukee Bucks. They shot 4 of 33 from behind the arc. They shot 37% overall and 69% from the free throw line. It was just a hideous offensive performance in a Game 7. They were on the road. It wasn't a friendly crowd, but nevertheless, the defending champs looked awful yesterday in Boston.
So did Chris Paul. That's my bad. Obviously, he's been the target. Patrick Beverley was on Get Up. Got some audio at 5 o'clock that I want to play you. Patrick Beverley was really going after Chris Paul today. Chicago kid. We may have him on soon. But CP3, I mean, come on now. Again, this is where Luka increases his legend. This is where guys are judged. We're baseball players in the heat of a moment. Are you clutch or are you not? I know there's nothing to measure, but these are the moments that you sort of take away. And I think Big Cat said on Pardon My Take, 5 different times CP3 has had a 2-0 lead in a series to lose that series.
Yeah, I mean, you can't deny it. The last several games of this series, he was a non-factor. And if you go back to last year's finals, you saw a similar performance from him as well.
Mellor, you're bad?
Let's give it up for Tom Waddle's Cincinnati Reds, who found a way to become the 6th team in Major League Baseball history to lose a game without giving up a hit, as they lost to the Pirates yesterday, 1-0. Jose Quintana on the mound. Hunter Green, who we have all lusted about his velocity.
Waddle says he's
the only one, right?
Not good enough yet.
He's got a 6-plus ERA.
I will say that.
You're learning. Did he look good yesterday?
Well, he was good, but he did walk in there.
He did walk 5 guys.
Only run of the game.
Okay, like, I'm sorry I put the level of expectation, but wasn't he the number one overall pick?
No, he wasn't number one. But he was a very high pick, yes.
He's super young still,
okay,
isn't he?
All right, I just want to see him, you know, get a little better overall. That's all right.
Your Cincinnati Reds.
They were my dirty as well. I'll just piggyback what you said for the same reasons.
I'll say they're still providing cover for how bad the Cubs' season is going, because the Reds are 9-26.
Hey, look out for the Cubs. I'm going to start sniffing the standings.
Cavalry's
break
coming.
Break them up. Cavalry. Yes, they're going to. Andrelton Simmons, did I see he was just called up?
I think David Bodie's starting his rehab assignment soon, too.
By the way,
Alec Mills should be back soon.
They turned a double play with Simmons providing the final assist, I believe,
it was great.
In last night's game.
I gave a And I love when a game ends in a double play. I gave a out loud, turn it!
Yeah.
And the ground ball, turn it!
And then you pushed your two children down the steps because the Cubs won and the Sox lost.
Because they've been talking so much smack, especially my oldest one. We were watching the Cubs game. He had been out all day. So he said, and it's a ninth. And all I wanted to watch the ninth as we were about to eat. And he said, let's watch the Sox. I said, they already lost.
What did he say? How did he respond?
Again? Well, yep, the Yankees.
F you, Dad.
I'm sure that's coming soon. Tyler, what's your bad?
My bad is myself.
Dirty?
You guys get that the screen time reports every week on your
phone?
Like
I was at 7 hours last week.
You want to hear what mine was?
What?
14:49 per day.
Wow. What are you doing?
I'm giving myself a COVID pass, okay? Because okay. I had nothing to do last week. I was locked.
Do you not have a television? Are you one of these
no,
kids?
No, I do. I have a TV, but like, I'm trying to think of how I even racked up 14 hours and 49 minutes a day.
Porn.
A day.
My Mallard porn.
May have been.
That's not 14 hours.
No, but like 14
hours. Not 14 hours.
I think I have to look through the screen time. Like, I think it gives you a breakdown of stuff, but I don't. I think there might be foul play from Apple or something here. I don't know.
What are they? What are they benefiting?
Yeah,
I don't know.
They're saying that you should put your phone down.
Listen, they cause the problem, sell the solution. They're going to sell a solution to this.
That's fair.
Interesting.
Good point.
All right, wrap us up. You gave the dirty the reds. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, mine was, yeah.
My dirty was when I read the stat. It makes sense when you think about it. Did you guys see how many conference finals now the Celtics have been in?
37,
yep.
37. They've been in, now obviously in the 60s, them winning year after year after year was a much smaller league. But the Celtics are going to their 37th Eastern Conference Finals. That's incredible. I think the Bulls have been in like 8 in there, and they won 6 of them. They get maybe more than that because they lost a couple of the conference finals to Detroit and the Mata years. I think they lost at a conference final. And then, of course, Derrick Rose lost to the Heat that 1 year. But 37, that's dirty to me. The Celtics are back. What do you guys have? Wrap us up.
I mentioned this to you guys in What to Watch For, and it is my dirty because I am disappointed that We Own This City, the David Simon created show on HBO right now, which airs on Monday nights. I'm disappointed that it's only 6 episodes. I'm 3 episodes in, gents. Episode 4 airs tonight, and it is excellent, and I am just so sad that it's going to be over so quickly. It's a limited series, We Own This City, by the creator of The Wire. If you enjoyed The Wire, I highly recommend it.
You were saying to me that I've got to watch now. Did you say if it's been updated for another year?
No, it's a limited series. It's only...
So it ends and that's it?
This is it.
That's it, all right.
But if you've been a Wire fan, I think you'll highly enjoy this.
Okay.
6-episode series.
6 episodes enough?
No. But you know what? He did the entire Wire series, so I'll give him a pass.
Yeah, leave him wanting more, too. If people are like, it's so good, I want more, it's better than saying, that sucked. It was too long. What do you got, Tyler? Wrap us up.
My dirty, the snake oil salesman upstairs, Danny Zetterman, for selling us a bad bag of goods.
The Pearl Jam story was one song. It was a guest conductor for the seventh inning stretch, basically. It was still cool. I would still talk to the kid. But I thought this kid had played the whole show,
three-hour
show.
Yeah, that's what Danny
that's
sold us.
That's how he sold it to us.
Yeah.
All right. 312-332-3776. I did the unthinkable this weekend. The unthinkable for me. I think you may be surprised coming up next.
Just a short drive from Chicago and the surrounding suburbs is one of the finest golf courses around, Flossmoor Golf Club. Founded in 1899 and located just 25 minutes southwest of Chicago, Flossmoor is a club steeped in tradition and has seen a resurgence in the last 2 years. They still have a limited amount of membership opportunities available. Visit them at flossmoorgolfclub.com to inquire about those memberships. Flossmoor has a variety of categories, and they believe in the old school charm with a modern approach. Visit flossmoorgolfclub.com and don't miss out.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, whatever's on your mind, we have plenty of room for you. Connor's going to be in at 5:30 to preview tonight's Sox Royals game. He was in the booth over the weekend.
Just walked into the building.
Oh, well. Good. 312-332-3776. We talked some Bears earlier. If you want to comment on the article we shared, we could refresh that in the 5 o'clock hour. The NBA playoffs, all the game sevens throughout sports. 312-332-3776. I tend to collect. Maybe that's a bad way to sell. I'm a hoarder, is a good way to put it.
You're a hoarder. Well, like with regard to what kind of stuff?
Well, there's stuff in my closet and on my shelves, clothes wise, that I haven't worn in years. And I think the general rule is, if you haven't worn something in a year, don't give it a second thought and donate it.
Put it in a bag and take it to the Salvation Army.
If you haven't worn it in the last year, you're not going to wear it. And then, I have shirts in there that I haven't worn in 5 years. And I finally decided yesterday was the day in the afternoon while I was watching some games. I was cleaning that up in my bedroom. And this is where I found this old shirt. And I forgot I had some good shirts, for instance. The old Tom Waddle, the Tom Waddle wear.
That's a very soft shirt as well, isn't it? Like the fabric is.
Well, they're all soft. This is how obvious shirts are.
Yes,
they're all. Some
of them are not. Some of them assault your nipples.
Well, SIU gave me a shirt when they were in town.
It assaulted your nipples,
and it's like 1987. I won't wear it.
I know. It's not comfortable.
So anyway, I found this gem. The old people haven't seen it, maybe. If you've just started listening to us, or now you can see it on Twitch, and we've got the videos. It's what is it, a duck with the 87, so it's Waddle Waddle?
Yes.
The Waddle Waddle wear?
Something like that, yeah.
Someone said, they tweeted me, and they said, I'd love that shirt if you have it in a man size.
That's not nice.
Someone commented.
That's not nice.
But anyway, the point of this, the unthinkable part was.
You're jacked. You jacked up.
Not true. This is a tight shirt. Second of all the Cubs gear from 16 in the past era, I have put into storage. Out of the rotation now are Cubs World Series 2016 champions. Like the Javi buy of this a cool Barstool shirt with Javi and the chains in storage. I didn't throw them away. One day they will be retro and they will be cool, I believe.
Collectibles.
To me now, this is, what is it now? It's 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. None of the players are on the team anymore. It's a long time ago. And I have decided to turn the page and to put it into storage.
It means now you need to get yourself like a Patrick Wisdom jersey or maybe a Windy City Miracle shirt, the Schwindy City. Get yourself something that commemorates the new squad.
I don't know. I think I'm going to
A Balls of Steel t-shirt.
That's the good one, right? Justin Steele. But I'm wondering if other people do this or if I'm sure there are going to be people who think I'm nuts. And think that once they won the World Series in 16, that they're going to wear that shirt until it wears out. Like I said, in good conscience in 2022, I love 2016, and I do live in the past. Many people accuse me, Sylvie, move on. You live in the past. I decided to turn the page.
Did you do this because the stuff is retro, or did you do it because it's a new era for you?
So I got two big bags where I'm donating, and these I'm storing. So this wasn't to make room for anything. This was, I'm past it at this point. I will bring it back. I've got some shirts that say three-peat on them from the Bulls. Mm-hmm. That they're retro and they're cool. A Rodman shirt retro. I feel we're in the spot right now where it's too old and it's not old enough to be retro.
It's time to move on.
Do you agree or disagree? 312-332-3776. The Bears, the White Sox, any of the Cubs stuff, and some hoops I want to play you. Cap says, be fearful, Bulls fans. There could be issues with Lonzo. We'll play that for you next.